Going Linux, episode 185. At what price, freedom? Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
And I'm your chief executive minion, Bill.
Whether you're new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that'll help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, at what price, freedom? Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome back, Tom.
Oh, thank you. I've been off the air for a while. I did 15 rounds with Time Warner Cable, and it's almost straightened out.
Okay, I can see the black and blue. Maybe that's just the Skype window, but...
yeah, you should see the other guy.
Good, good. All right, well, your audio doesn't sound too bad today, so let's cross our fingers, hope that Time Warner hangs in there for all three of us, since we all three use Time Warner. Sure. And hope Skype holds out. I know Audacity will, and Linux will, of course. But
oh, sure.
Yes, of course.
Simple advice for Tom, pay your bill.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a six-week refund. What I've been paying over the last 6 weeks while I've been having trouble with this thing.
Good.
They don't give those out easily, do they?
No. You've got to be really, really ticked.
So I take it you were. Well, I'm glad things appear to be working okay. Have they replaced any hardware?
Not yet. That's coming. That was supposed to be yesterday. Uh-huh. But I get one person I talk to on the phone that tells me one thing, and then the next person says, what? That's crazy. We don't do that.
Now, I was just going to ask you, the first time when I had my cable modem installed with Time Warner, they sent this really creepy guy, and I didn't let him into my house.
And that has been the problem. I called them up. They said, you know what? That modem of yours is 13 years old. You need a new modem.
Okay.
Now, you can either go pick it up, or we'll send somebody to your house with it. I said, well, I don't have a car right now, so I can't pick it up. Good, send somebody to my house. The technician shows up, and I'm waiting for him to hand me the modem. Oh, no. We have to come in.
Oh.
Oh, well, you can, but you'll need a background check, an iris scan, and a cavity search. Is that okay with you?
The second guy they sent me was, I guess he wasn't a contractor. He was actually a Time Warner person. And we come to the understanding, I said, just give me the modem. You work on the outside, I do the inside, everything works fine. Because I don't want you coming into my inner sanctum. That's why it's called my inner sanctum. Ah. You don't come in, you do your outside, I'll stay inside, and we're good. And he was very cool about it. But I will tell you, I lose signal. I was telling Larry, from 12:30 to 1:30, at least every other Sunday, like clockwork.
Well, let's get on with our topic before you lose your signal this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
No, it's at night.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, but still, we should get on with our topic because somebody listening over in Ireland has no idea what Time Warner Cable is or even cares what our troubles are. So,
yeah.
And as I said earlier, our topic is, at what price, freedom? We have received so much feedback about our episodes 181 and 183.
Yeah, in episode 181, that was our episode on how to avoid Windows 8.
And episode 183 was our episode apologizing for straying from our podcasting goals.
We will read and listen to that feedback, some supportive and some critical, in our listener feedback episode.
Today, our episode starts with a lengthy email from Jonathan Nadeau of the Accessible Computing Foundation, who is critical not of Windows 8 bashing, but our treatment of Richard Stallman in the apology.
Yes, and our objective for this episode is to discuss what does free really mean when it comes to software. I know we run the risk of starting another controversy or controversy, depending on where you are in the world, but here goes. We'll include a link to my somewhat detailed 2007 article trying to compare and contrast the terms free, and Libra. The first free had a capital F. I realize you can't see that on your screen. Free, Libra, and open source. I responded directly to Jonathan's email, but I'd like to hear, Bill and Tom, your thoughts on what Jonathan has to say. Let's start with the email from Jonathan Nato.
Well, wait, let's not. We'll start that in just a second, but let me say, since we did that 181 episode, I have not been on the air, so I haven't been able to say anything. So, I'm just going to start by saying, I know it's become a big joke around here that I hate Microsoft and blah, blah, blah. That's not true. The reason this all started and I started using the W word was just because this is a Linux podcast and we were spending so much time talking about Microsoft and Windows that I just started saying, you know, we've talked about Windows 9 times now. Let's go on with the podcast. And if we have to say Windows once more, let's just say W. Okay, so I don't hate him. I don't hate Bill Gates. No, God bless Bill Gates. He started out as a college dropout with a dream and turned into one of the richest men in the world. And, you know, that's the American dream.
Yeah.
So good for you, Bill. I just don't want to use Windows. So now we'll get to that email from Jonathan Nadu. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, Larry, Tom, and Bill.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
I just listened to the last episode, and I'm not writing because you've offended me or anything. I'm writing to defend RMS. That's Richard Stallman. He doesn't listen to podcasts, so I'd like to point out some things. Nightwise mentioned was pointing out that RMS ways of doing things in the old way, and he does it out of fear. Well, it is out of fear, but not the kind he was talking about. The fear is that we were going to lose our freedoms in free software. Nightwise also mentioned about RMS saying that Valve coming to GNU Linux is evil, and I agree with RMS 100%. Valve coming to GNU Linux is bad, and I don't want to see it come to pass. The reason for this is, okay, let's say that we get some Steam on the GNU Linux, and then we need more proprietary video cards and drivers to run Steam. Then let's say Steam is successful on GNU Linux, and then more proprietary companies want to develop on GNU/Linux.
Some people would say this is great, but it isn't. This would mean that we would have more and more DRM and proprietary software on GNU Linux. Then before we knew it, of what used to be a completely free operating system would be 50% proprietary and DRM software. This is not what free software is about. People talk about, well, open source is about choice. Sure, choice of what desktop or media player or even what web browser, not choice to run proprietary software on a free system. If you want to run proprietary software, stick with Windows or Mac. GNU Linux has become what it is because of RMS and his work for free software. It is because of the free software development approach and the freedoms of free software that have made GNU Linux what it is today. He travels around the world all year long and gives 150 to 200 talks within a year, so he is basically giving a talk every 3 to 4 days. He doesn't even get paid by the FSF and only gets paid for his speaking engagements.
Also, if it wasn't for RMS talking with Linus Torvalds about the kernel and pointing out that he should release the kernel under the GPL, computing as we know it right now would be very different. Linus wanted to release the kernel under a non-commercial license, and this would have meant that there would be no Red Hat or Google or name any other company that is built off the Linux kernel, and or free software. It is because of the GPL that has given this freedom to software and technology to be where we are today. Sorry, I just wanted to point out some of these things and at least defend RMS a little. I might not agree with him on every topic, but I totally agree with him on the free software side of things. Both Larry and Nightwise said some things about RMS, but I don't think either of them have listened to him actually speak. I used to kind of think the same things about him until I listened to him speak myself. So, like Nightwise pointed out, how Larry and Tom shouldn't have said things about Windows 8 without trying it. Likewise, to say things about RMS if you have never listened to him talk. And then Jonathan provides us a link to a number of talks given by RMS, and we'll have a link in the show notes to that audio and video on the GNU website. He wraps up saying, thanks for the show.
You're welcome, Jonathan.
Yes, absolutely. And we're not upset with you, Jonathan. We have a lot of respect for you, the good work you're doing for accessible computing, and all of the good work you've done prior to that for all of the Linux-based computers that you were selling at one point in time, all of the support you've done for the Linux community in general. Let me say that I have listened to RMS talk, and not just on podcasts like the Linux Action Show. I've listened to his talks on that link, and I've listened to them before that as well. But the Linux Action Show's 200th episode focused on an interview with Richard Stallman and includes Stallman saying to Brian Lunduke, one of the hosts, that proprietary software is evil and producing it is unethical. I'm not sure I can get behind that.
Jonathan, you were absolutely right. I had not listened to Mr. Stallman talk, but you provided that link, and there were many speeches by him recorded at different times all over the world. So I think I listened to the first one on the list first, and then skipped back a couple of years to one that was recorded in Kosovo. And I don't know, I spent 3 or 4 hours listening. And as Larry said, this is a quote from Richard, all non-free software is an injustice and should not exist at all. Now, Jonathan, when I interviewed you, you said, I've got nothing against paying for software. And then there was a but on the end of that. So that's fine. But as far as RMS is concerned, if it's not free software and free in every way, it's evil. And I can't agree with that. I've bought software for Linux. I bought games and stuff. You know, you got the Humble Bundle and all that good stuff. And another thing you said was that you had college students that were going to be working on the on your accessibility project. And it would look good on their resumes. Well, those resumes would be submitted to companies, and companies exist to make money for the most part. So the companies that those students are going to be working for are probably not going to be selling free software. Or they're not going to be peddling open source, completely free software. So I guess I don't get that. And then Mr. Stallman goes off in a few different directions, particularly when he was in Kosovo. And this is pretty cuckoo. He said that he considers it a possibility that President Bush, the President of the United States, was responsible for the airliners flying into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon so you could start a war. What? Okay. And next let's talk about Sasquatch and Elvis or something. I don't know what comes after that. He was asked about, somebody in the audience asked him about pirate parties. And at first he objected to the word pirate. He didn't like that word. We should get rid of it. Oh, he also doesn't like the word Linux. He wants people to stop saying Linux and start saying GNU Linux, and when they hear anybody else say Linux, to correct them. Yeah, let's back up to that. When I talk to people about Linux that are not Linux users, a lot of the time the public will say something to me like, oh, Linux, I've heard of that. My uncle uses that. He really likes it. Or my brother-in-law, big Linux fan. Well, now if we start saying GNU Linux, now we're backing up two steps when we only had one step forward in the first place, so that at least some percentage of the population recognized the word Linux. And now we're going to confuse them with GNU Linux. Sorry, Richard, not going to happen. And you're not going to make my grandparents stop saying Frigidaire when they mean refrigerator. Okay, so back to when he was asked about pirate parties. He started off saying, stop using the word pirate, and then took off on a rant on global warming in Bangladesh, and I can't remember what else, but kind of cuckoo. And then one more thing that really opened my eyes, listening to him speak for those hours. He said that teaching kids to use non-free software is like giving them needles full of heroin. Really?
Pretty powerful statement.
Pretty powerful statement. So, if they're using a typing tutor and they learn to type, but the tutor wasn't free, they're junkies. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, end of rant.
Okay, Bill, before you rant, let me make a correction, Tom, because I know that if I don't, our listeners will. RMS's and the Free Software Foundation stance on selling software isn't that you can't sell it. You can sell it. You can make a profit. You can take money for it. It's just that it still needs to conform to the four freedoms. You can take money for it, but it still needs to be free from free with a capital F, free.
Okay. Well, right. My eyes kind of glazed over some part of the way through, so I might have missed a few details.
Yeah, I understand. Bill, your opinions.
Okay, first off, I have watched, listened, and read things from Richard Stallman. And hold on while I put on my flame suit here, because you're not going to like what I got to say.
I'm diving from my bunker.
He is an arrogant socialist. Basically, he thinks everything should be free. And he gave the example in one of his talks, and unfortunately, I can't pull out. I think it might have been Revolution OS, but it could not be. So if it's not, do not flame me. But basically said, you have a painter painting a picture of a building. And you're walking by, and you're just as much entitled to that picture as the person who paid the painter to paint it. And that's his philosophy, is that you can sell it, but the only way you can make any money is to support it. I also listened to the I will not say GNU Linux. The Linux Action Show, when they had him on, Brian kept saying, so you mean it's not right for me to sell this proprietary software to feed my family? And he said no. He also has been an advocate of not having children. He doesn't think people should have children. I mean, this guy...
Oh, I gotta go along with that.
Yeah, this guy needs to be put out the pasture. He does not conform to today's norms. He also... I tell you, if you want somebody that does conform and wants to grow Linux, talk to John O'Bacon. He wants everybody to use it. Look, and here's the thing about Steam. If you don't want to install Steam, you don't install it. Simple. If you don't like it, you can take it off. That's the whole freedom. But his freedom And the whole thing boils down to this, and I'm sorry for the rant, but he badger pissed me off.
Calip.
Well, maybe we can do what the guys over at Linux and the Ham Shack do. They just put the word badger over any foul language. Okay. So maybe we can do that.
I don't
badger.
Think
badger
is a bad word, but that's beside the point. The you're allowed, his opinion is you can use software as long as you use the software the way he wants you to use it. And that's my problem.
Well, and it's not just software. He was talking about music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And all music downloads should be free, he says. And his plan is to put an internet tax on everyone and then spread that money out among the artists. But if you just do a direct spread, depending on how many copies were downloaded, then the most popular people would get the most money, and he doesn't like that. So he wants a sliding scale so that newcomers get more money and popular people get less or something. It's a redistribution of wealth.
No, that's exactly what it is. And Bill, I have to disagree with you that Richard Stallman should be put out to pasture. I do agree that he does not conform to the norms, but okay. That's the nature of extremism. And that's what
fine.
He is. He's extremely on the left.
That's fine, and I appreciate what you said. But I one last thing, and then I'm done. Anybody that has any idea or want to know what Richard Stallman stands for, go to his personal site, and you will get, and your eyes will be opened, and everything I've just said will congeal, and you say, you know, the chief executive of Minion's right.
So, Bill, would you put the link to his personal site in our links? And I'll include that.
I will. I'm pulling it up now from my bookmarks.
Okay. Before I give my opinion on this, let me relate a couple of other things that I've been listening to over the last couple of days that have a bearing on what we're talking about here. First of all, Ahuka on the Hacker Public Radio podcast, episode 163, talked about that Linux Action Show episode, the most recent one where they had Richard Stallman on. And Ahuka mentioned that for anyone to say that Richard Stallman is against freedom is just weird. I guess somewhere along the line in that show, there was an accusation made by one of the hosts that Stallman was actually against freedom. I happen to agree with that to some extent. And before I explain, let me continue with some of the points that Ahuka made. He makes the point that freedom is not absolute. There are limits to freedom. For example, he used an example where your freedom to swing your arm ends at the tip of my nose. So, in other words, you can swing your arm all you want. You're free to do that as long as you do not impinge on my freedom not to have a broken nose. He talks about the fact that you need to talk about the context of freedom and use the word freedom in the context of other people's freedoms. And that's what that whole arm swinging and nose breaking is about. There is an inherent conflict between the freedom of the content producer or the software writer and the freedom of the content user or the software user. He talks about RMS being on the side of the software user and the content license or the software license agreement being on the side of the content producer. To some degree, I agree with that. He also said that the GPL takes freedoms away from software producers and gives it to the software user. The point he misses about the freedoms of the software user is that the GPL protects only four freedoms of the user. It conspicuously misses from that list the freedom of choice. I was also listening to the next HPR episode, 164, which is a recording of a panel discussion at Og Camp 11 that was held over in England. And the discussion, of course, was about Linux. There was lots of talk about the future of Linux. There was a lot of disagreement about whether the increase in support for touch and tablet computing among Microsoft, Apple, and Linux spelled the end of the Linux desktop. There was, however, a lot of agreement that we need to keep our focus on developing free and open source software. Almost everyone who spoke on that panel about freedom included the word choice in their description of freedom. In the mind of the average person, at least in the US and perhaps amongst the panelists at Og Camp, when the word freedom is used, it is assumed to include freedom of speech and freedom of choice. And it's that freedom of choice that the Free Software Foundation and Richard Stallman not only omit in the Four Freedoms, but they actually work against your freedom of choice when selecting software.
Here come the flames.
Absolutely. I'd like to read my response to Jonathan where I summarize all of this. And before I do that, though, Tom, any further comments?
Well, let's just take this out of the flames for a second.
Sure.
Because I think it's pretty toasty. I do have to give Mr. Stallman his props. He did come up with GPL.
Yeah.
That was a good idea. He did come up with, I think, the first version of Emacs back in 73 or something. And he worked on that, I think, on a PDP-1. And the furthest back I go is a Digital Deck Equipment Corporation, PDP-8. So, yeah, he's been around for a while. And good on you, Emacs is a pretty cool thing. And there are a lot of forks and branches and different versions of it these days. So he started something good. He also said that he listed some of his other good ideas that he had over the years that never panned out. And I can relate to that. My solar-powered tanning bed I thought was a really good idea. Never went anywhere. So, good on you. You did some great things. But you're not going to change the world. The horse is out of the cow's out of the barn. The horse is out of the barn. What's the saying?
Horse's out of the stable.
The cat's out of the bag.
There you go. Some animal's out of something. Anyway.
Yeah. So stop complaining that we're not saying things right. Because the way we say them now is probably the way we're going to keep saying them, and one guy isn't going
to
change it.
Well, and I have something to say about that.
Well, I had. Oh,
no.
You want to go first, Larry?
You go ahead first, Bill, because it's included in my email response to Jonathan.
Good. First off, while we're giving props, I don't take anything away from what he did. He offered a lot of great tools we use, but without Linus Torvalds, we wouldn't be where we are now. Okay, a lot of people see the final results. They don't see the people actually working on the Linux kernel, the kernel team that actually makes this thing work. Richard Stallman, if you watch Revolution OS, was trying to build a herd system, which each little piece was different that would interconnect, and he couldn't get it to work. They're still working on it. But he did develop the things to compile software and to do this. Well, then Linus Torvalds said in his thing, I don't think I built this for me. Here it is. Do what you want. I don't think it's going to go very far, and sent it out on the internet when he was at the University of Helsinki, I believe. It fit the bill of what Richard Stallman needed. Yes, he might have talked to him and asked him to put it under the GPL-3 or whatever GPL it's under. But the whole thing is, both of these, Linux would not be where it is without either one of these people. So what I'm saying is, you got to look at both sides of this and say, yes, he contributed, but without the core of what Linus wrote and his team, it would not be anywhere. And then one last prop, Ubuntu, and I'm not even going to say John O'Bagan. Oh, I did, darn. I'm not even going to say Ubuntu or Canonical, but they have moved Linux from the hobbyist to more of mainstream. I mean, I bet you I can go to where I work and I can say, do you want an Ubuntu disk? And, oh, yeah, I run Ubuntu. I would have never heard that 5 years ago because there's more than one person. So, you know, you've got the extremist. You've got Nightwise, who's very practical. You've got Linus Torvalds, who just likes hacking the kernel and getting things done. And then you have Canonical over here trying to get people to use it. And people are not going to use a software program that they cannot get what they want on it. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to offer maybe not a perfect solution, but a better solution. End of rant.
Okay. So this episode has been about Richard Stallman, the Free Software Foundation, about freedom. And really, it's been about what is the definition of freedom, which takes us back, in the spirit of Back to Basics, something that we addressed back in 2007. And I think the same sorts of things hold today that held back in 2007. And it's those things that perhaps I have changed my position on since 2007, but on some of them. But for the most part, I still hold what I held back then. And I tried to express those to Jonathan in my response. So what this response is about is, what is the cost of freedom? Freedom as defined by Richard Stallman and the Free Software Foundation. And what I think you'll find is the cost of freedom, as they defined it, is the freedom of choice that they specifically exclude from the four freedoms, the only four freedoms that they purport to support. And I think you'll also find that I have some positive things to say about Richard Stallman and the Free Software Foundation in this email response. But I also hopefully make it clear that I disagree wholeheartedly with their definition of freedom and the appropriateness of their definition of freedom. And I also disagree that we should call all versions of Linux GNU Linux, because they aren't. There are only those that have passed the FSF test of free, as in the way the FSF defines it, and only those that are anointed with the title GNU Linux. And that leaves it open to another definition of Linux that is not GNU. So having prefaced the email with that, here's my response. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the email. I respect the good work you are doing for accessible computing and your opinions. When we released episode 181, the idea was to give people some reasons to choose not to switch to Windows 8 when it was finally released. I had no idea it would create such a firestorm of feedback. First Nightwise and Keith Murray rightly pointed out that the words we chose and how we said them were inconsistent with our goals and message. Now you are taking issue with my comments about Richard Stallman. You are right, of course. The principles that Stallman espouses are well-founded, and I respect them a lot. I also defend his right and the right of the Free Software Foundation to promote those principles, the four freedoms, and the social goals that go along with them. There are two additional points I always try to make when discussing RMS and the Free Software Foundation. From time to time, their behaviors, the words they choose and how they say them when defending their position, are inconsistent with their goals and message. Just as with our podcast, That behavior often overshadows the message. When that happens, the message becomes lost in the listener's emotional reaction to the words of the speaker. And Tom, I think that's what you were getting at when you were talking about Stallman's diversions from the topic, his rants about Bangladesh and other sorts of things. Point number two, I respect the position of the FSF and RMS on free software, and I disagree with their position on the meaning of free. Don't get me wrong, they are free, freedom of choice, not freedom of speech, to define the word free however they want. Heck, they invented the idea of free software with a capital F. It's the idea that software is a, quote, social movement that I can't get behind. And if you refer to Stallman's article on open source misses the point, you'll see his reference to software as a social movement there. I've listened to Stallman talk, and I have read some of Stallman's writings. I understand his position, and I see that it is valid and admirable. I simply disagree. RMS and the FSF staunchly defend the four freedoms of free software, the freedoms to run it, to study it, and to change it, and to redistribute those copies with or without changes. The one freedom, in my opinion, that is missing from this list is the freedom of choice. In fact, I have heard Stallman say that people should not have the freedom of choice. When I hear or read that, I hear the emphasis on should. Whether people should or should not have the freedom of choice in order to benefit society as a whole is a moral, philosophical, and dare I say, political position. It is a socialist position. I'm all for a little socialism from time to time, but taking it to the extreme position taken by RMS is too far to the left for me. He is welcome to continue to maintain that position, and I defend his right to promote that position. I will object, however, when someone tries to force it upon me. You see, when it comes to free software, I am of the opinion that the phrase free as in speech includes both freedom of expression and freedom of choice. I know that this is counter to what RMS says, but it is my opinion. And I think even RMS would agree that I am free to have my opinion, right? He might simply believe that my opinion is not ethical. To me, it's not a matter of ethics. It's a matter of self-direction, self-fulfillment, and self-expression. I live in a country which has stood fastly for the kind of freedom that I am talking about. I chose to move to this country. I made that choice to realize more freedom of choice and freedom of expression. I made that choice to suffer less of the kind of social freedom that seeks to take away free choice and to equalize everyone towards the mediocrity in the middle. I chose my kind of freedom. RMS chose his. In my mind, we both have the freedom to make our individual and different choices. He has the freedom to try to convince me otherwise, and I have the freedom to choose not to be convinced. Please don't take that to mean that I want to enter a debate with RMS on the meaning of freedom. He has an unbending belief that his extreme view is correct. I can see his point of view and understand why he believes it. In a debate, that means I lose. Let's bring this back to software. RMS makes it clear that he does not like the term open source. His philosophy article on the Free Software Foundation site says that the open source community is focused on free as in beer, rather than free as in a social movement. The way I see it, the open source community has actually chosen to exercise all of the four freedoms championed by the Free Software Foundation. They chose not to run GNU Linux as it is, but to study it, and to change it, and to redistribute the copies with those changes. They have forked it. They have chosen to call it Linux without the GNU. That way, it's not confused with free as in social movement software. If you want to run GNU Linux, run one of the few GNU Linux distributions that have removed the freedom of choice in order to be blessed by the Free Software Foundation with the term GNU. If you want to run an open source fork of GNU Linux, you have a much wider selection when choosing among the Linux distributions. Pick one or use them all. The choice is yours.
And another thing in RMS's defense, I did hear him say more than once, you don't have to agree with me.
Right. And I don't.
And I don't.
And I don't.
Are there any other comments? Flame bait. any other rants?
I do. But it's not about Richard Stallman. I got it out of my system. So, you forwarded an email to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who wrote it, but I wanted to explain something very quickly. They were saying that my ending 73 was, they didn't know what it meant, and they couldn't find out, and they thought it might have been self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to let them know. The amateur radio service uses the term 73 to basically say goodbye. And if you were my spouse, I'd say 88, but you're not my spouse, so that's loving kisses, and you ain't getting that. but 73 is basically goodbye, have a great day, yada, yada, yada. It's not a self-serving term. I am an amateur radio operator, and you can ask my wife when I say, a lot of times I'll say, I'll talk to you later, 73, and hang up. It's just part of our lingo, and if this caused you any sleepless nights, I'm sorry, but 73 is just basically goodbye.
And WB4BBC is your call sign.
It is. And you can send all the flames you want to that call sign. It's at Gmail, so flame on, because I'm sure I'm going to get it.
Okay. So are we done, guys?
Okay, so yeah, here comes the blowtorch.
Yep. Put on your flame-retardant suits.
I do have extra suits for you guys. I'll send them to you.
I could use one. Mine's getting a little war torn. Well, in our next episode, more Back to Basics, listener feedback.
Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations. Email us with comments, questions, suggestions, and flames. And that email address is goinglinux@gmail.com.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover in the show, use our forums to leave your topic suggestion in the thread labeled topic suggestions at forums.goinglinux.com.
You can send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show, and Tom has already given you the email address and the voicemail number.
Oh, no, I didn't give the voicemail number.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
The voicemail number is +1 904 468 7889. And try not to burn those wires up.
Follow our show updates on Twitter and Google+. We're going Linux.
You can download our episodes from our website, or you can use the HTML5 or the Flash Player to play them right on the show notes page. And thanks to a listener, they no longer preload all of the audio files. I'm sure for those of you who have low bandwidth, you'll appreciate that. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
73, all flames directed to Tom.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.